Welcome to Happyful Finding What Works, a podcast navigating mental health and wellbeing support so you can find what works for you. I'm your host, Kat Nichols, writer, content creator, and curious navigator of all things wellness. Sit back, relax, and let's find what works for us. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. So today is the final topic of season two, and we wanted to leave you feeling uplifted and inspired. So the final topic we're going to be exploring is empowerment. And joining me today are two brilliant guests who are going to help us navigate empowerment. And we're going to have our usual exhale episode after this to help you put into practice what we learned during this conversation. So I'm going to ask my guests to introduce themselves and then we'll get into the topic. So Aaron, I'm going to start with you. Could you please introduce yourselves and tell us more about who you are and the work that you do?
Hi, I'm a coach and a counselor. I guess most of my experience has been A lot of it has been in New York in the music industry. I lived out there for 25 years. So I developed artists, coached producers and A&Rs, also developed like stage presence for artists and how to deal with social media and their careers and kind of navigate that landscape. And since I moved back to London about 5 years ago, I've been doing a lot of relationship coaching, confidence coaching, business coaching for like CEOs and senior management, and just kind of helping them get things in their lives on the right track.
Brilliant. Thank you. That must have been amazing to have lived in New York and worked in the music industry.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic, but fun.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And Laura, how about yourself?
Hello. So yes, I'm Laura. Less glamorous in the sense that haven't lived in New York. Definitely didn't intend to ever actively be empowering anyone else. I'd say I've been invited here because I'm a pretty bang average woman, apart from the fact that I'm rocking my big bald head. And I lost my hair when I was around 13 due to alopecia. I spent 2 decades of my life literally hiding behind my wig, I would say, and being terrified for anyone to notice or talk about my visible difference. And since the pandemic, and finding a community, and now getting support from that community, somehow I don't know when the light bulb moment happened, but I decided enough was enough. And so I've ditched the wig and yeah, I'm embracing my difference and actively celebrating it. So I'd say I'm here to talk about how I've empowered myself during that journey. But I'm sure we'll get onto it along the way. You end up empowering other people as well, it seems, when you embrace yourself. So yeah.
Exactly. And you touched on a really good point there about what empowerment kind of means to us and how once we empower ourselves, we can empower others. And we'll definitely get onto that. So to start with, I'd love us to talk a bit more about what empowerment really means. So I did Google a definition just to kick us off. And the official definition, according to Google, is the process of gaining freedom and power to do what you want or to control what happens to you. So Laura, I'm going to stick with you. Could you tell me, for you, what does empowerment mean?
I think that definition is so interesting because control is one thing that I haven't felt I've had in my life, especially being a teenager who suddenly started losing her hair. The whole point of my feeling of powerlessness was because I could not control the changes happening to my body and my physical appearance. So part of my empowerment in recent years hasn't been because suddenly I've found a tool or ways to make my hair grow back. The freedom word, though, I'd say is key to how I understand empowerment. It is that, excuse my language, no F's attitude to like, okay, everyone else around me is telling me that this is the goal, this is one thing. And empowerment for me is that internal thing of looking inside and thinking, when do I feel at my best? When am I thriving? And maybe what are those things that I've not felt I'm able to do, and why the hell not? So for me, empowerment is setting that goal and trying to get there and knowing that if you don't, it's not the end of the world. But yeah, empowerment and challenging myself to do those things that I felt I was never able to do is definitely how I would define it.
Thank you. I really agree with you that that definition is a strange one. It's the kind of tale of two halves, the gaining freedom and power to do what you want, I think I definitely agree with. And then to control what happens to you, I would say it's more about controlling your reaction to what's happening to you. And as you said, kind of setting challenges for yourself, recognizing I've been holding myself back here. Where can I move forward on that? So really agree with that. Thank you, Laura. And Aaron, coming to you, how would you say empowerment has touched your life and what does the word mean to you?
Well, I agree with Laura. I think it's about that confidence to be who you are, and the belief that how you feel or how you want to portray yourself is okay, and really understanding that, you know, if people don't like it or if people do like it, that's fine as well. But having the confidence and the ability and knowledge that you could really determine how you live your life, and you could, you are in charge of who you are and how you are in this world. And it's that encouragement and giving people the confidence to believe that in themselves, you know. I think that encouragement is what empowerment means to me.
Absolutely. It's recognizing that you are the author of your book, your life story, and you can make the changes. But feeling empowered and maybe safe to a degree as well, to be able to do that, and finding that sense of safety within yourself, within your community, to take those steps forward. Really appreciate that. Thank you both. So when we think about finding what works, which is the title of the podcast and something we always explore, when it comes to empowerment, I'd really love to hear your thoughts on either what you have found works for you personally or what you have found works in the work that you do. So Laura, I'll come to you first. And again, this was probably a bit more personal. So what have you found has helped you on your journey to finding empowerment?
What has helped me to feel empowered is community through and through. And I know everyone says that phrase, you know, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And I used to believe that. But actually, I don't think that is true anymore. I've realized it certainly helps if there's media representation, or just if you can see yourself in others or whatever it is that you're aiming to feel empowered to do. Of course, it helps. But if you can't see that, that's not a no. And maybe that is where the control takes place, because I've got to admit, I didn't feel empowered for those 20 years to not wear a wig or to talk about my alopecia, because I couldn't see anyone in the public eye doing it. And obviously I'm 32 now, so I was also in the days where social media wasn't quite the tool it is now. So apart from on some chat forums where people were understandably moaning about their alopecia, and I just felt that wasn't the space that was empowering me to feel good about the fact that I was dealing and learning to live with this condition. It was only in the pandemic when I just bothered to search the hashtag alopecia, and it was like the curtains were drawn back and I found all these people at different stages of their journey of empowerment and living with alopecia or visible difference. And it just made it so much easier for me to start interrogating my own feelings towards everything to do with myself, actually. So yeah, I think representation is key, but I don't think it's the end of. And if you don't see it, I'd say a huge part is be the representation that you can't see. And the voice that I've always had in my head, the more I challenge myself to do new things, is 13-year-old me would never, ever have dreamt that I'd be doing this. And that's who I'm doing it for. And if it helps other people along the way, that's just a bonus.
I love that. And I really resonate with that, the 13-year-old version of yourself or the younger version of yourself. That's something I can relate to, because I struggled a lot with my mental health when I was a teenager, and I completely lost all sense of confidence and self-esteem. And I've gradually been building that back up ever since. And whenever I look at the things I'm doing now, even hosting a podcast, I think, wow, yeah, past me would never have believed that. And it's partly doing it for them. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Laura. And Aaron, yourself, could you tell me a little bit more about what you find works? Perhaps for you, it's more what works for your clients when it comes to empowerment. What do you find helps there?
I think what works the most is, so I've got a wide spectrum of people that I deal with, but it's really kind of listening and seeing who they are, and kind of helping them reveal, okay, who they think they should be and who they really are, and really sit, allowing them, helping them to kind of unravel that and sit in what makes them comfortable, you know, and really kind of not think too much about what other people say about them or what other people feel about them, but how they feel about themselves, and really being okay with that. And if they have stuff they need to work on, being okay with that, and really showing them what their strengths are, and really saying, okay, these are positive things in your life. These are positive values and mores that you have. And the stuff that maybe you can't you're struggling with are just things that you're struggling with, and there's always a way through and a way out, and just kind of talking through it and getting the answers from within them, and showing them that, you know, you have the answers, you just have to really speak them out loud and just find the bite-sized steps that you need to take to move forward.
Absolutely. It sounds like self-awareness and self-reflection is a really key part of that. And you mentioned their values, and I think that's such an important thing to do, is to identify what your core values and beliefs are. And if anyone listening to this is not sure what this is all about and how to do that, on Life Coach Directory, we do have a page with information about how to actually go about identifying your core values. So I'll pop a link to that in the description, because I think that is a really big part of that. And once you identify those and you can see the positives of those, you can start to build up that sense of self-trust and self-belief, which ultimately ends in empowerment. Finding the right tools for you is something we're passionate about here at Happyful. On happyful.com, you can connect with mental health and wellness professionals like counsellors, coaches, nutritionists, hypnotherapists, and holistic therapists located all over the UK. You can also browse our online articles, self-help tips, and subscribe to our monthly magazine for a regular dose of dopamine on your doorstep. If you're keen to explore what might work for you, whatever that may be, visit happyful.com today. And something you mentioned there is that you work with a broad spectrum of people. And I'd be interested to hear, do you find there someone you're particularly passionate about empowering in the work that you do?
I like to empower teenagers, because I have a lot of nieces and nephews that obviously struggle with a million different things. And I was raised by a single mom who raised six kids, and she was always encouraging us and letting us fail, and then saying, okay, this is why you failed. This is how not to fail the next time. And really kind of letting us become ourselves and not putting us down, and really kind of directing us and giving us the skills and tools to become good adults, you know. And she was a really amazing positive role model for us. So I think marginalized people, you know, people who have been through abuse, teenagers who are struggling, maybe creatives who don't know where they want to exist in this world, you know. Yeah, I kind of enjoy working with outsiders and kind of showing them where they could exist. And you're an outsider here, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're an outsider everywhere. You just haven't found your place yet.
I love that. That's really, really powerful idea that, yeah, you might be an outsider here, but you might not be elsewhere, and you can find your place. Thank you, Erin. And Laura, I have a similar question for you as well. You said that you kind of have accidentally become someone who empowers others. So I'd love to hear more about if there is anyone that you're kind of particularly keen to empower with the work that you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic to hear Erin talking about how you love working with young people, because that is actually the group that unofficially I have ended up kind of, that seems to have become my core mission of my volunteering. I work for an international charity that focuses on protecting and supporting children. I'm a trustee for a youth charity. I volunteer for the Alopecia UK Youth Voice Board. I support the Young Media Champions for Changing Faces, for example. I don't know how this happened, but I think because I was a teenager, I was a young person when all this happened to me, and I felt I didn't have that support, I didn't have that voice championing me. Obviously, I'm almost trying to heal that wound, I think, for myself, and make up for that by giving my time now that I'm kind of coming out the other side to support young people. And actually, I think I would love to ask Erin this, like, half the time I'm in these, I don't know, online Teams meetings or whatever, with young people who are maybe at the start of their alopecia journey, or maybe they have had it for a few years. And I'm genuinely impressed, inspired, like activated to want to do more by them, because there will be teenagers telling me how, oh yeah, no, I just go to my PE lesson and I whip my wig off and then I put it back on afterwards. And that blows my mind, because I think back to when I was at school and I actually ended up missing a whole school year when I lost my hair, because I just couldn't be seen. I couldn't emotionally deal with what was happening to me. So I am so impressed and inspired by these young people now. So I don't see it as in like, it's a one-way channel of, hey, look at me, I'm 32 years old, look at what I've done, because it's no, I'm still learning, and I'm learning from them every single day. So I wondered, yeah.
Yeah, the teenagers are so impressive because they've got so much stimulation, so much creativity and so much courage, you know. And it's like I do learn from them every day, and it's quite remarkable to know that they could be that brave about everything. And some obviously there's things that get to them, but sometimes they're like, yeah, I just do it or I just don't do it, you know.
Yeah, I think when we talk about freedom, the idea of the giving no Fs about what other people think and all those external voices, I've got to admit, I wonder if there's, for me, it feels like there was a time in my life, granted it was pre-alopecia, where I was, you know, a young, chubby, tomboy, eczema-ridden kid, but it didn't matter what I looked like because I was just out there having fun and making friends and being very outgoing. And then I kind of went into when the hormones started flying about and we were suddenly sizing each other up and deciding if we fancy people. And all of a sudden my value was just based on how I looked. And now I'm starting to come out this other end where I can see, hopefully, the older I get, the more I'm going back into that no Fs phase of my life. So I think we're almost sandwiched by this freedom more. And it's just this horrible chunky bit in the middle where we're all trying to navigate what societal expectations are telling us we should be and should look like and how we should show up in the workplace or romance or whatever it is. And so, yeah, I think having regular chats with these young people is definitely the most empowering thing I've started doing.
Yeah, definitely. And surrounding yourself by the right kind of people who don't really pick on things that are unkind or irrelevant, or in the long run they don't really mean anything. It's like who someone is, how they feel, how they treat you, how you treat them, how you know treat the planet or the place that you're living and the people you're coming to contact with. That's what really matters, not if you're wearing, because I wear all black all the time, and for years people are like, oh my god, how could you wear black in the summer, it's so hot. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you know, I go to Uniqlo and I get a breathable black t-shirt, so I'm okay, you know. And it's just like, who cares, you know, just let you, who am I or who are you? Let's have a nice conversation and support each other. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
Definitely. And yeah, just showing up as you are and just, yeah, as you said, kind of not caring what other people think. And that is definitely something you learn and you grow into. I definitely resonate with the struggle of the teenage years with the hormones flying around and all of that. So that's really, really great to hear how chatting to young people has inspired you both. Thank you for sharing. So talking a little bit more about coaching, Aaron, I'd love to hear more about how that can support someone who's looking to get help with empowerment and maybe what they might expect if they haven't done coaching before. What can they expect from a coaching session?
So coaching, I guess, is, you know, like guidance to kind of pull things out of you and give you the tools to get to a destination. So kind of assessing where you are now, the struggles or the obstacles that you want to get over or get through, and giving you the tools and the processes and the guidance to get you to that point or to the next stage. So it would be, say, a session would be us kind of me asking you, what would you like to work on today or talk about today? Then going through why you want to talk about that. Then how does that relate to how do you currently feel about that? And then kind of talking through ways to make that better, to unpick it, to figure out if that's really what you want, why you want it, and then kind of just reviewing what that thing is, and then kind of giving you a roadmap and processes, whether it's journaling, thinking about something, doing an actual activity, or doing something that's going to advance you to the next step your way, and just letting people know that they have the answers within them and kind of helping them get those answers out and really deal with them and move forward in accordance with their values.
I think that's what I love so much about coaching, is that the actual process in itself is an empowering process, because as you said, coaches aren't, you know, are there to help you draw the answers from yourself. So they're not there to tell you the answers or to tell you what to do. They're to encourage you to reflect and find your own answers and draw on your own resources, helping you realize you have got resources to draw on. And that kind of slowly helps to build confidence and empowerment. No matter what you're going to coaching specifically for, I think the entire process can be empowering.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. So we've talked about what can help us feel empowered and all of these different things. But as we always do in this podcast, I always like to look at the other side of things as well and what can hinder empowerment. So what can get in the way of us feeling empowered or hinder that? And how can we navigate these obstacles? And Laura, I'm going to come to you first on this.
Yeah, so I spoke a lot about community being a core sense of empowerment, but I know both from my personal experience and speaking to other friends, for instance, in the hair loss or visible difference community, that comparison can be a real trigger and challenge when you are on any kind of journey. And I know some people are really triggered or given the ick by the word journey, but I do think it's a journey. And actually, it's really interesting hearing Aaron talk, though, because I always say this isn't a linear journey when I'm talking about confidence, because I have employed resources within myself. I set myself challenges to start getting out of the house more without my wig. I, you know, went to a theme park because that was a very specific thing that I'd put off doing for 17 years. So by removing my wig to go and do that activity, it was a practical, there was a practical reason behind it, which enabled me to kind of set myself that challenge. But I see other people saying, oh, and now I've gone to work bald, or I've done this, or even things like in terms of the campaigning space, once you realize that you're passionate about maybe talking about what your difference is or whatever it is that you're just trying to get over or embrace, when like me, now I've almost, it's become a passion project. It's difficult when you see people saying, oh, well, how did you do this? Or I want to write for this, or I want to go and do a TED talk. And it's like, okay, but why? Like that, one, there's nothing stopping you. Go and do it. There is enough space and there's enough room for everyone here. Everyone's got a story to share, and every story will help someone else potentially in the world. But I think the biggest hinder to empowerment is there is going to be a lot of hate coming your way. As soon as you start sharing your story and, you know, putting your head above the parapet, whether it's big, bald or otherwise, like, people will have something to say. If people are having a go at Aaron just for liking the color black, then it shows how petty and ridiculous our society and people can be. But obviously that's a reflection of what's going on in them. And that's the biggest learning curve that I'm having to realize in my empowerment journey, that when people are chucking hate at me on Instagram or whatever it is, like, I've had quite a lot in the last 24 hours, ironically, because I posted something about going on my first Bumble date bald. And yeah, it's sometimes really hard to be confronted with such a different mindset. And it feels like it can chip away, even when you've put all these tools in place to build your self-confidence. And I know how far I've come in the last 3 years in embracing who I am. But of course, it doesn't make me feel good when I see a 30-something-year-old man telling me, yeah, you look way better with a wig, love, hide that cone head. It makes me feel like crap for all of 5 minutes. Then I take myself away, take a deep breath, go back, find my community. I say, oh, I'll be sharing this on LinkedIn. Thanks very much, mate. You've given me some content. And we go from there, you know. But some days it is easier than others, 100%. And that outside voice is... it's when the outside voice starts quieting your own inner voice, that's when it becomes a challenge, I would say.
Yeah, well, good riddance to that guy who made that ridiculous statement. You know, that's his loss. It's like, it's almost as if why, what gives him the right to be that rude? You know, it's like, but that's his problem, not your problem, you know? And it's like, you listen, you making your inside voice louder and having the confidence to say, well, that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with that person, you know, and having the confidence and being empowered enough to believe in yourself and say, that's fine, you know, on to the next thing.
Yeah, I'm not here to date that guy anyway.
So yeah, exactly.
It's all good. But yeah, no, it's, thank you. And yeah, it's that outside versus inside, isn't it? And yeah. I think at the end of the day, you have to live with your voice 24/7. So that has to be the voice you listen to. That has to be the voice that we put energy into. And I think in terms of it, like, I think of confidence like a muscle. That's why I say it's not a linear journey, because some days, you know, maybe I've not worked it out enough and it's not feeling as strong. So that's what helps me in terms of my empowerment. I think of my confidence and my empowerment as a muscle that I need to work on every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so true. And I think there are going to be days where that muscle is tired and you can't handle things as easily as maybe you could have done the day before. Something may have taken you down and you may need to take yourself away and just like have a little break from, especially from the internet, when some of these comments come from the internet, maybe we take a break from that. And yeah, just give ourselves a chance to build ourselves back up again and to stretch that muscle again. But I totally agree with you that as soon as you do become more empowered, you become more confident in yourself and you might start setting boundaries as well, which some people can find difficult. And then having to deal with the people can be a hinder to empowerment. But as long as you keep that inside voice louder than those other outside voices, it's all good. So really appreciate you sharing that. And Erin, similar question to you. Do you have any thoughts on things that can hinder us feeling empowered, and how can we navigate them?
I think, again, the inside voice saying the wrong things, you know, and then really like listening to that nonstop on repeat and not having an out, not having someone there to tell you, okay, well, that's not true, or not having the systems in place or the meditations or the journaling and someone to give you answers and oppose those negative beliefs or those fears or those negative thoughts, or whether, you know, having something in place to really counteract that and just kind of shut it down or just educate you about why that's wrong or negative or against what your life goal is. I think that's really hinders empowerment, but also not knowing what to do, not knowing, okay, is this about, if am I thinking something that isn't true? You know, some people just think things and don't know that it's wrong or that it's affecting them negatively or that it's preventing them from being positive or happy or, you know, forward moving. So it's just really knowing when to ask someone else for help or when to help yourself or when to really reach out and kind of assess yourself and what's going on with you and really seek out that uplifting or empowering person or situation.
Yeah, definitely. And what you said there about having something to kind of counter that negative inner voice really reminded me of something I did through my recovery from an eating disorder. Is I had a really small, tiny little notebook, and I would make a note anytime somebody complimented me. And it didn't have to be about looks, it could have been about anything. I would just always write it down to then read back on and remind myself of that and kind of counter my incredibly negative inner voice that I had at the time and say, well, look, these people said these things about me. And whilst I would never say we should be seeking external validation, because that can definitely not work, in those early days when you are trying to build up a sense of who you are and confidence, I do think really highlighting those things, like recognizing when somebody's said, well done for doing this, making a note of it can really help. And as you said, just finding those systems, whether it's somebody to speak to, whether that's a professional, friends, family, colleagues, community, or having systems like journaling, meditation, things like that, to just find that space to counter what your inner critic is saying, I think is so important. So thank you for that. Brilliant. So before we wrap up, I wondered if you could say something to anyone who is listening and maybe struggling with empowerment at the moment. They might be listening to this and thinking, oh gosh, I really want to work on this. What would you say to someone struggling? And Erin, I'll stick with you for this. So yeah, what would you say to someone struggling with empowerment right now?
It's not a permanent state of being. It's something that you can get through. There's loads of help out there. It doesn't mean that that something's wrong with you. It's you just need to find the answers and find the reason and find the way out. And like Laura said, it's life's a tangent. There's ups and downs and there's valleys and there's twists and turns. And there's always a way out. It's not permanent, and anyone could get help. Anyone could be helped. No one's beyond help. And it's easier to find help than you think. And you don't have to sit in it by yourself.
Perfect. And with that in mind, where can our listeners connect with you if they would like to?
So in the Coaches Association for Coaching directory or on LinkedIn, June McCarthy Consultancy, or June McCarthy, just put it in and you'll find me on LinkedIn.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And Laura, coming to you with this question about what you would say to maybe someone struggling with empowerment or even your past self, as we were saying earlier. What would you say to someone struggling?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We've spent a lot of time in the podcast chatting about how we should emphasize our own voice and look internally. But I think we're also teasing out the importance of others in terms of when they can be a positive voice or a positive resource or help. And I do think surrounding yourself with great people, people that make you feel the best version of yourself, or people that you aspire to be like, that's a really good place to start, because you're surrounded by positivity, and that's really great. I think the big reminder I'd want to tell myself, or anyone, specifically those in the visible difference community, is actually, no, this is relevant for everyone. Scrap that. This is relevant for everyone. It's not a radical act to like yourself. And yet we live in a society, especially as women. Sorry, Aaron, but I'm going to go there. But actually, again,
I apologize, because I absolutely agree. Because I was raised by a single mom, and that's a group I love to empower. So you go ahead, girl.
Amazing. Thank you so much. But yeah, I feel like as a woman, especially as a bald woman, it seems shocking when you show too much confidence. It's seen as arrogance, or, you know, and I just think empowerment is a positive thing. And along the journey, there are going to be people that tell you you're too much, or that, you know, no, you're striving for the wrong thing. You should just keep your head down and accept it and get along. And that is not what empowerment is all about. Empowerment is whatever you want it to be. But a great first step is looking around you to the friends and the family members that make you feel your best, and you think they're the bee's knees, and just surround yourself with that level of positivity, because that's what's going to get you through life the best version of yourself, 100%.
Absolutely. Thank you. That's a brilliant note to end on. And also, yeah, where can people connect with you and learn more about the work that you do?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at Relight Alopecia. So like the Take That song, Relight My Fire, but at Relight Alopecia. And I'm also this year a top voice on LinkedIn, which is exciting. So I'm bringing alopecia awareness to this professional platform as well. So just Laura Mathias there.
Perfect. Thank you. And we will pop all the details in the show notes as well, so that you can find everyone. So thank you both so much for your time today and for sharing your wisdom. That was a really great conversation. And for anyone listening, if you want to learn more about coaching for empowerment and confidence, you can learn more at lifecoach-directory.org.uk. And I'll be back next week for our Empowerment Exhale episode, where we're going to be exploring some exercises to really help you feel that sense of empowerment. But until then, please take care. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please do share it with anyone you think may benefit, and rate and review the podcast. This all helps our mission of creating a happier and healthier society. To delve deeper into the topics discussed today and to find professional support that's right for you, visit happyful.com.